Hello, everybody. Just a very quick one about Instagram. If you're on it, Meta, the parent company, is reducing the number of political posts visible to users on their feed. This is a real thing, not a hoax. So go to your Instagram profile, tap the three horizontal lines in the top right corner to open the settings tab, scroll down to what you see, click on content preferences, open political content, and turn on don't limit political content. That's an option. Otherwise, you won't see almost anything we post because we are deemed political. Please do that now, or you won't even see the posts about our shows, our fun things. So if you want to see Guilty Feminist content and know when we're coming to a place near you or releasing a new podcast, do it now.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm a feminist, but when I arrived in America 2 days ago, the man at customs was looking at my visa, and this was an O-1 visa, which means I can tour here and work here, which I've never had for America before. And he said, so what job are you doing? And I said, I'm a comedian. And he went, And he looked at me so suspiciously, and he was like, what kind of comedy do you do?
Oh, I hate that. The funny kind, bitch.
I did not say, because I didn't want to be deported.
Right.
They have a lot of authority at the border. Whimsically, individuals can send you back. It's so whimsical what happens at borders. And it can just be down to one guy not liking your face. So that's what I thought in my head. But I was like, I don't know. So what I wanted to say so badly was feminist comedy. And I was like getting those words ready up in my mouth. And then I was like, what if he does not like feminists? What if he says, oh, well, let me take you into a small room and ask you more questions and grill you and say, no, you've got this visa under false pretenses because no alien of extraordinary ability would be a feminist. You know, this is what I'm thinking in my head because I've watched a lot of The Handmaid's Tale. And it's all set here. It's all set in Gilead, which America does seem to be teetering on a little bit. So I was there going, just say feminist comedy. Just stand your ground. Just say feminist comedy. Just say feminist comedy. Just say feminist comedy. And then I just went, funny comedy. And he went, And then he just went, you're free to go. And sort of, you know, slid the passport across. And I was like, thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you so much for allowing me into your country. Go save America. And then just ran very fast away, ran towards the baggage, and then stood at the Antigua baggage carousel for a full 20 minutes before I realized it wasn't London. It's genuinely what happened.
I was born in America, and I feel that way when I come back
to
America.
Do you?
Yes. You talk about not liking your face. If I don't wear... Sorry, but if I do not wear makeup to the airport, I am not treated like a person.
What?
Yes. I'm always the fifth person in line. They pull me over. They want to check my hair. They want to check my bag.
Check your hair?
Check my hair.
What, to see if there's anything in it? Like
yes.
Drugs or anything?
I mean, you know, there has been a couple of stories of women with dreadlocks leaving, Thailand with drugs in their hair.
And you don't have dreadlocks.
I don't, but look, I definitely like drugs. I don't carry them. That's crazy.
But you don't wear a T-shirt that says, I love drugs.
Anymore.
No. Not after what happened last time. You are, your husband is Dutch.
Yes.
And people do associate Amsterdam with a certain amount of jazz cigarettery.
They do. Yes, I feel like I'm in Chicago now and all that giant. But yes, I mean, they do. It's almost as like if somebody came to America and they were like, everything is McDonald's in Times Square, and it's just a teeny tiny...
It's kind of it, though. Yeah. I'm kidding!
Teeny tiny part of it, yeah. I'm a feminist, but I need a man to handle the insects and rodents in the house. I live in New York. Look. You know, I went to college. I'm Jamaican and Haitian. I know who my dad is. Come on! I can't kill a rat. That's insane. I need a man to do it. A man in Carhartt that's too tight with his butt hanging out. That dude named Joe or Paul or whatever. I need him. I'm good. I'll buy the house. I'll put 40% down so I have like very low monthly payments. But I need you, sir, to kill that thing for me, please. Thank you so much.
I'm a feminist, but last night Gloria Steinem came to this show here at Gramercy Theatre in New York City. Just rocked up to the show. I didn't know she was in the audience. In fact, somebody texted me when I was backstage going, do you want to know which fancy people are in the audience tonight? And I texted back, no, definitely not. Tell me after the show. I'm only going to get in my head if you start telling me fancy people. She came to go backstage, and she didn't have a backstage pass. So one of my friends gave her his backstage pass because he recognized her and obviously knew I would want to meet her. What a legend. And so she came down and she met me and she was so nice about the show and she had a photo with me and it was like obviously the greatest moment of my or anyone's life. And what I really wanted to ask her about was her experiences fighting the patriarchy as a second wave feminist at the vanguard of sexism with so many amazing women of color and queer women at a time when they redefined what it meant to be a woman. And that is not as true as I wanted to ask her about her skincare regime because Wikipedia says she's 85. She looks no more than 42. Seriously, is that just genes? Or is there something that she is doing? Is it olive oil? Can I ask her that? When I see her again, which I'm going to, I'm so excited.
I'm a feminist, but look, I can't do any more marches, all right? I can't. I will PayPal, I will Venmo, I will clickety-clack on whatever. So I can't with making a sign and shit. I cannot do that. We need to, look, white women, I love you. You got good feet. You don't do it, okay? As a black woman, I am climbing a mountain every day emotionally, and I can't walk anymore. Plus, this body, my tits are so big, my whole body is like the middle seat of an airplane, just touching people by accident. I cannot! What am I gonna wear? Oh my God, the chafing between my thighs, walking up and down your fucking street. Can't do it. I stay having a wedgie. I cannot. I'm not doing the porta pot. Look. I'm gonna resist from my fucking couch braless with my dog and my babies getting mildly high. I will do other things. My ancestors did that shit. Thank you so much, white woman, for doing what you do. And tell your aunties and your moms to vote the right way. I feel like, I don't know, I feel like when I get tired, I turn into like Bernie Mac, like a tired
women. Women.
Not okay. I just heard myself for a second. I'm just like, how Jersey can one bitch be?
I'm a feminist, but if I had to choose between doing this gig here tonight with the Guilty Feminist in New York City at Gramercy Theatre, a dream of mine that has come true. I've had to choose between that and going to the Golden Globes with Jon Hamm tonight. You know what? I would actually do this first and meet him for the after parties. Because he has never once asked me out after all my hinting. And I know people have told him, oh, the Girls First podcast, they joke about you, Deborah, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, oh, that's really funny. I've heard that. I've heard that back. He still hasn't asked me out. So at this point, fuck him, he can wait.
He can. He can wait.
He can wait.
Well, congratulations on your journey. I really hope it works out and that you go ham. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry.
I don't think I understood that. Go ham.
Yeah. Oh, that's a saying we have here. Go ham means you go nuts.
Really?
Yes. And his last name is?
Ham.
Yes.
Okay, that needed some translation for the British person.
Yes.
Go ham means go nuts.
Yes, wow. Go crazy.
So you could say, what was that? Did someone just say fucking? Hard-ass motherfucker. Who said that? What?
I don't know. The dude in the front that looks quiet said it. So now I'm all types of surprised.
He does look quiet.
You did look. You gotta read the whole book, honey.
Sorry, why did you say hard-ass motherfucker? What's that got to do with going ham?
That's what it means.
Oh, it means... go hard... ass.
Yeah. It's an acronym.
Go hard.
Thank you. Oh! Ham. This is amazing.
Stands for hard ass.
Truly one of my best moments of 2020.
Okay. So go ham means go... Okay, so it's acrostic. Go hard assed motherfucker. Okay. So go hard-assed. What does it really mean, though, to go hard-assed motherfucker?
Look, you can go ham.
Go hard-assed.
Hard as.
Oh, hard as, not ass. Hard as a motherfucker.
This is amazing.
And how hard does a motherfucker go?
As hard as you want to go, bitch.
I'm so confused by this.
Look.
Go ham, go hard as a motherfucker. Yeah. Okay. From Gramercy Theatre in New York City. This is The Guilty Feminist, the podcast in which we explore our noble goals as 21st century feminists and the hypocrisies and insecurities which undermine them. I'm Deborah Frances White, with me is Michelle Buteau, and we're talking about intention. Delight to have you here. Have you had a guilty week or a feminist week?
Oh God, I can't really remember. I mean, what's the difference at this point? I want to say a dollop of guilt. You know why? I cannot stop saying the word bitch. I call my friends a bitch. I call my mom a bitch.
What?
Yes!
Your mother a bitch? You can't call your mom a bitch.
Yes, I can.
Call
not
your
like.
Friends a bitch.
But I'm not like, you bitch. I'm like, hey, bitch. You know what I mean? Like, I'm happy.
I can't imagine calling my mother up and saying, hello, bitch. It doesn't work with a British accent,
I mean,
does it?
No! I can't. Bitch. I'm just hearing Mary Berry say bitch on like British Bake Off. Well, bitch is quite soggy. You know what I mean? Like,
well, this bitch has a soggy bottom.
Yes! What I would give for Paul Hollywood to finger my croissant, you know?
The Hollywood handshake.
I know!
Right?
Oh, yes.
It puts a whole new spin on that.
He means it.
I'm sure he does. I have no doubt that he means it. He means it. The thing is, I do enjoy sometimes being like, what up, bitches? Like, it's gotta be, like, jocular.
Oh, well, yeah. And but that's the thing, it always is. And I feel like we cannot be so PC that we're gonna be, hello, Terry Lynn Martin. No! I've known you for 18 years, you held my hair back, you see my winter feet, you see all the things. You saw the dude I dated that didn't know how to read, that I wanted to fix like a Coldplay song. You saw all the things, you my bitch! I'm very passionate about it, my right nipple is so hard. She's the only one that works.
No, indeed. Indeed. But I don't think that's PC. I've retired the term and phrase political correct, and I've replaced it with compassionate or inclusive.
Ooh!
Because it's very... When people go, I don't want to be PC, I'm like, do you want to be compassionate? And then I find literally nobody, even Trump supporters, say, I don't want to be compassionate. Because right. They can't get that out of their mouths.
Yeah.
But so I feel like, I'm sure there are Trump supporters that would say, I have no interest in compassion, to be fair.
I can't talk about Trump. It makes me so sad.
Okay, that's the last you'll hear.
Okay.
And if there are any Trump supporters in the room, you are welcome.
Are you lost?
You're
lost.
You are welcome to change.
You're found.
I'm sure there are not any Trump supporters in the room, but... Oh, you are?
All right. This just took a turn.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, anyway. Okay. So, we're talking about intention. Because I think a lot of what stops us being great feminists and even human beings and good to ourselves is that we're doing things on autopilot. We're in a capitalist society, so stuff's being shoved at us all the time and we sort of think, oh, I've got to go here, or I've got to do this, or I've got to work these crazy hours, or I've got to self-care, or I've got to, you know, I'm drinking that and I'm not even thinking about it, you know. We just get swept along in all of these unconscious behaviors, and it's very difficult to fight the fight and resist injustice if most of what we're doing is just sort of putting our hand out and
eating crisps
because, or chips.
Yes, chips.
Just because they're there, you know, do you know what I mean?
That was always confusing on British Bake Off for me, because I was like, where's the biscuit and the gravy? But it's cookies.
Yes, biscuits and cookies, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
Your biscuits are like...
However you end the sentence, I'm so happy.
Okay. They're like aged scones.
Yeah. I thought you meant my personal biscuits, and I thought you were going to be like, bring the boys to the bar.
No. I meant when American biscuits.
Yes.
American biscuits are like elderly scones.
They're the Benjamin Button of cookies.
That's right. And nothing to do with a cookie. They're so far away from a cookie. Anyway. And I would say the same with... You know, we go into a meeting at work, if we're at work in a place where there's meetings, and we go, oh, sorry, before we've even begun to say anything. There's all these unintentional words that we use, unintentional ways that we sit and stand, and things that we don't ask for or do ask for, things that we do and we don't do. So we're talking about intention because I think if we lived more intentionally, we would ask for a lot more, we would accept a lot less, and we would... somehow carve out more time for ourselves to breathe and to challenge ourselves to get more involved in social justice and create more space and time around ourselves. Most of, I think, what eats our time and our energy is unintentional.
I 100% agree. My husband is from Holland. I am from Jersey. What's up, Jersey? The Netherlands is the size of Jersey. So... when he talks about, you know, we should buy what we need in terms of food, this, that, and the other, I'm Caribbean, I'm from Jersey, I have gotten into this American habit where I'm like, we need the 6-foot hoagie. We need the extra of the extra. We just need more food in case people get hungry, and I just love to see people full and just, like, busting out their pants. I want my guests to, like, feel like they're going to pick a diet by the end of dinner. Do you know what I mean? And I didn't realize I was... sort of living that American dream, so to speak, where like more is more and more is great. And being with somebody from a place like the Netherlands where it's like you take what you need is mind-blowing, because in turn I'm happier, I'm healthier, I have more money in my account. It's so crazy. And I think when you're from a country that's so big, the government's constantly giving you, like, these are your choices, this is what we got, this is our coupon, this is the 99 cents. And so, you know, it's trust. You just trust doctors know what they're talking about. You trust that your president knows what he's talking about. And you just think you know, you just trust people. And I, you know, now that
I think that trust is being eroded now, that like massively.
It's been.
So eroded.
I don't even know if it was like good
Apparently
to begin
it was Nixon.
With.
It was Nixon that eroded.
truly. Oh, I think it was George Washington. But that's a whole other show.
Your man who never told a lie. But in terms of the public, you know, the Second World War, people said, oh, we go and fight for our country. And if you said something that was subversive, you may be seen in a room as being unpatriotic. Mm-hmm. And Nixon completely upended that. Now with news, people just don't know what to believe anymore. They're like, well, you can't trust any of it. People tending to just go, it's all bullshit. And we do need to examine what is real.
We have to think for ourselves.
Oh my God, has it come to that?
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?"
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Please welcome to the stage, Deborah Frances White! Delightful to see so many of you for financial reasons. It's a long way to come. And you know what? I nearly didn't get my visa in time. This show nearly didn't happen. Yes, I know. That's how I was feeling, because I was like, I could see on Twitter people were flying in from places, and I was in London going, I don't have a visa. And the Boston show got cancelled because I didn't have a visa. I know. No. Can you imagine how I felt? Because I said, people flew in from Bermuda. I would have had to refund their travel. I know. And some people, when the Boston show got cancelled, got tickets for this show. And can you imagine if Boston got cancelled, then you bought tickets to New York City, and you booked a hotel room, and then some so-called feminist bitch is lying in her bed in London? You would be enraged. That would be enough for you to give up feminism forever. You'd be like, oh, I'm not doing this anymore. I no longer believe in equality for anybody. This is not, nothing about this is fair. I don't believe in justice, social or otherwise. So thank you. Has anyone come from not New York City? Speaks to you. Oh, loads of you. Where have you come from?
Indiana.
New Jersey. Okay, well done. Schlepp, come on! Unless you've come from further than Brooklyn, do not laugh at this New Jersey person. It's a schlepp. You did say New Jersey, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah. I've not made that up. Anyone else?
Yes.
Indiana.
Iowa.
Okay, Indiana. I don't know which one of those is further away. But I'm going to ask you, what's further away from London? Manchester or Newcastle?
Newcastle.
Okay, all right, you do know. That is not fair, though, because Americans normally wouldn't. Educated group of New Yorkers. Fine. Whatever. I still don't know if it's Iowa. Indiana. I think Indiana's further away than
Iowa.
I think Iowa's further away than Indiana. I'm going to go with that. I'm some kind of geographical genius. Anyone else come from anywhere else?
Houston!
I wanted to go to Texas. That's where Houston is, right? I'm kidding. I wanted to go to Texas because I was like, Texas needs feminism and feminism needs to go to Texas. And they were all like, no, go to the places where they already like feminism because we need to sell tickets. We might as well call this tour Deborah Frances White Preaches to the Choir. Wherever the choir is, Deborah's there going, Trump, not a fan. So next time I'm going to insist. I wanted to go to Alabama and they said, you'll be shocked. We do not have that kind of insurance. They're like, no, But I think Houston and Austin would have been fine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Enough of the choir, but also maybe some room to build a bridge. Absolutely. And also, bring thirsty people water. I don't want to assume Houston is where thirsty feminists live. Is that...
Absolutely.
It is. Okay, fine. Yeah, I suddenly thought, is that insulting? But they're in the front row. They're like, no, we have come to New York for this. Obviously, if we had this kind of comedic feminism in Houston, we would not have flown this far. Fair enough. Thank you. What does your T-shirt say? Is it a feminist T-shirt?
Oh, yes. They're all female artists.
Oh, that's lovely. They're very, very cool. I promise to come to Houston now, just on the basis of you. Indeed. Anyone come from anywhere else?
Pittsburgh!
Thank you. Pittsburgh, thank you for acknowledging Pittsburgh. Finally, feminism acknowledges Pittsburgh. Where else?
San Francisco.
I'm coming to San Francisco. Sorry?
My cousin had surgery, so I was making the trip anyway.
Oh, okay. So
I'll
this
be
is
there
a.
That day at 2.
Okay, I'm a twofer. Your cousin's having surgery. Who flies a continent? Because their cousin is having anything. You've got to be close to that cousin.
Very close.
Really close. Okay, all right. Well, that's...
Nice.
What was that?
He's very nice and he has a nice apartment.
Okay, cousin's having surgery. He's in hospital, but he lives in the village. It's like, I'm so sorry for your surgery. Let me come and visit you. Do you just remind me, is it one bedroom or two? It's a view of the park, right? Yeah.
I'm on the couch.
You're on the couch?
Okay. He's home. I'm bringing him breakfast.
Oh, you're bringing him breakfast, okay. You're going down to the deli and, yeah. I'm loving it. So I'll see you in San Francisco as well?
Yes, you will.
Excellent.
I'm bringing a convert.
You're bringing a convert? What, not someone from the choir? Wow, yeah. A convert to feminism or convert to the guilty feminist?
To the nunnery.
Okay. We should actually just say, has anyone come further than that or just feels they need to declare before we move on?
Atlanta.
Where was that?
Atlanta.
I said we should go to Atlanta. Okay. I feel we would be well received in Atlanta.
Yes, you would.
Yes. Thank you. There is one person, that show would be just the two of you, just sitting in the front row going, we don't care about the others. Thank you for coming. Yes?
Japan!
We have a winner! What? Really? Japan?
Nepal.
Oh, okay. It's like a game show now, isn't it? Nepal, and then people just went, oh. Japan's just lost. She was just about to get the golden handshake. She's just lost to Nepal. I know. So you've silver medaled there. That's, listen, you know. Yeah, that's what you always get or what Japan always gets? But you didn't come from Nepal for this. Okay, so you're here to go to college.
Yes.
And while here, you're attending this show. Japan. Can you counter with something better than that? Because Nepal, it turns out, is a local who originally came from Nepal, but to study and not to come to a podcast. What's your story?
Born and raised here, but I'm teaching English in Japan.
And did you come back... For the holidays. The family demanded. So you're not here for me either. This is just like...
My sister's a diehard fan.
Oh, okay. Your sister's a diehard fan? That's playing round the corner as a sort of... It's a holiday tradition. Oh, a diehard fan of this. I get it. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah, well...
New Jersey's here for you.
New Jersey has come here. Yeah. Yippee-ki-yay, mother feminists. The producers, as is absolutely standard, they didn't know, you know, they just sold this VIP meet and greet afterwards where people could come down and someone had to, on the plane that I was on had come up to me on the plane and went, excuse me, I just want to say I love your podcast, I'm sorry to interrupt you on the plane. And she said, I'm going to meet you again tomorrow night because I've paid for the meet and greet. And I was like, well, you've really wasted your money. Either that or this will be $50. Her name's Caroline, and she said she was coming to both shows. Caroline, are you in tonight? Yay! And your boyfriend's here the second night, because she came last night. You've come to a feminist podcast two nights in a row. My goodness, sir. What a keeper you are. Marry this one. Seriously. I feel terrible because when men come to the show, I give them so many extra brownie points. I'm just like, what? You've come to a feminist show? And does anyone else do that? Does anyone else really admire men who engage with feminism? It's just another example of how little men have to do to get credit. They don't. They have to do fucking nothing. No woman here is getting praise for listening to a podcast. It's like when a man says, and I listen to The Guilty Feminist, and by the way, if you're here on a second date and the man has brought you, you're being duped. It happens all the time. All the time. This, a big market for this audience is men on second dates trying to get laid before the third date. Just like, I brought you to feminism and it's entertaining. Can we have sex now, please? I've proven myself as an authentically great man. Anyone here on a date that the man has bought the tickets, just cheer. I'm telling you. No, he might be lovely. He absolutely might be. He may really love this podcast and not be trying to sleep with you. That could have happened too. Or both. Thank you. He may love the podcast and be trying to sleep with you before time. Not before time. There is no before time. Anytime you want to sleep with anybody, as long as it's consensual, there is no judgment from me. It sounded a tad slut-shaming. I just realised what I've said. I was like, they're not going to go for that. Quick, back out. Which I now realise sounds a lot like an innuendo. Which also sounds slut-shaming. Quick, back out. Today is the co-founder and CEO of Hip Sobriety, a comprehensive digital platform for the treatment and support of alcohol abusers, as well as feminist sobriety site, Tempest. She lives in New York. Please welcome Holly Whittaker!
Hello, Holly.
Hi, girls. Come sit down and tell us, what is the feminist take on sobriety?
Well, I would say that I was not a feminist before I started this, and when I got sober, I think that my awareness around my relationship with alcohol and like this self-oppression, having awareness around that, and then also just when I stopped drinking, I had this idea that you were supposed to drink, that it was supposed to work. And so we're talking about intention, and we're talking about things like we just go along with. We just drink because that's what our parents do, and that's what we do when we get to a certain age. And I just thought the only people that didn't drink were people that couldn't drink, or Mormons, or people that did it for like specific religious reasons. Like, I didn't have any sober friends. I didn't have anybody that I knew that just didn't drink because they didn't want to. And so I think that when the way I got sober was by realizing I had a choice. And I also had a terrible relationship with it, but the thing that moved the needle for me was realizing I don't have to do this shit anymore. I don't have to actually feel this way. I don't have to go along with something that is actually murdering me and making me hate my life and myself. And so having that awareness to actually have a different, like to be able to see how something was showing up in my life and also not have to be an alcoholic. And not have to like follow this, like there's two paths, you know, you either drink and you make it work somehow or you, you know, can't and you have to go to meetings and go through rehab and all this other shit. And so I think the first piece of that was saying, oh, I don't have to go either way. I can actually forge my own way in this and I can actually change my relationship with alcohol. And then that pushed me into the recovery infrastructure. Like it pushed me into a system where I started to be gaslit for my decision on how I was recovering, told things like I was in denial if I didn't try it this way, or like had family members tell me like I was, that I was gonna like, that I was fucked up and would always be, like just people started to opine on my life once I stopped like drinking alcohol, and also once I said like it had created a problem for me. And so I think like that kind of thing started to drive awareness around systems, right? Like the systems that we have in place to help people recover, the labels that we take on when we do, the systems in place that perpetuate drinking, and like alcohol is everywhere. It's like it's soaked in like our culture. Everything we do, we pair with alcohol, and we don't question it. We don't question how it shows up in our lives. We don't question that like rosé all day is like actually taking drugs all day, and like we're bragging about that. And so it's just, I think that, I don't even remember what the question was that you asked me, but.
No, well, just you, what I found really interesting is you sort of have a feminist angle on our intentional or unintentional relationship with alcohol. And you were talking about how alcohol is marketed to women in a capitalist society.
Well, yeah, it absolutely is. I mean, it's, you know, cigarettes, like, were called torches of freedom. They were sold to us, actually, as part of, like, our liberation movement. Like, you know, women that are against the patriarchy also smoke cigarettes, and so we tied up that imagery with, like, this, like...
Really? That's how it was sold?
Yeah, it was a PR campaign. Like,
what?
That was an early
torches
PR campaign.
Torches of freedom?
Torches of freedom.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a thing that was... Lucky Strike basically put cigarettes in the hands of women and got it in the New York Times...
I think it was an episode of Mad Men. You should ask John Hamm.
Yeah.
He can tell you all about it. I don't know if it was an episode of Mad Men. There was one where they were marketing cigarettes specifically to women, but they didn't really go into it too much.
But is that, like, that's marketing. This was far more PR stunt. This was, like, an influencer campaign before there was Instagram. This was, like, actually working with feminists, putting cigarettes in their hands, taking pictures and putting it in the newspaper, and then saying...
What?
Yeah, like, they were trying to get more women smokers, and so that's what they did.
What's interesting to me is when you touched on family members trying to steer you the way that they think you should go, and I feel, especially with women, when something goes wrong with us, everyone puts the shame.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, this... You know, you're supposed to be pretty and dainty and, you know, speak when spoken to. And, you know, ooh, if something's wrong, then why do you have to talk about it?
That's right.
And, it's, you know, in my family, the Caribbean side, at least, it, you know, the men could never do any wrong.
That's right.
But God forbid, if you have a problem and you're a woman, it's like...
It's your fault. You did something.
It's your fault. You did something wrong. So
you got to wear that burden quietly, yeah. And I think it's also for women, there's also other pieces of this, which is you lose your agency in the healthcare system no matter what you have. And the healthcare system was never designed around you. It was designed around men. Mm-hmm. And so you take that to the nth degree when you have addiction thrown in because you've lost even more reason to be believed or to have a voice. What we created and what we do is we come at it assuming people do not have male privilege. Discovering a relationship or their relationship with alcohol and figuring out if they want to change it. And we talked about this too. I've written a book and I also run a company, and in anything that I have ever done, it has always been about giving people information so they can make choices and supporting them in their choices and like in their paths to uncovering things in the way in which they feel they need to do it. And I think like that is the feminist nature of it, or the even like just like the feminine nature of it, which is the allowing versus telling versus like forcing, allowing people to come to their own conclusions in their own way.
So it's really all about intention with alcohol. So you could come to this website and look at your book, and you could sort of just start to re-examine and look at your relationship with alcohol and see if it's where you want it to be or whether you want to shift it. But it's not an all or nothing view.
No, I mean, it's just like the way I think about this is the way that most people think about cigarettes. Like, society's caught up with like how toxic and addictive cigarettes are, and we haven't with alcohol. It's just a thing. And so the way I always talk about this is I'm not like ever promoting somebody to like work really hard to keep alcohol in their life. And at the same time, I'm also not, I don't know anybody's path or what's right for them or what they should do. And so everything we do is kind of in that vein of being very honest about what it is, giving people tools, but at the same time also giving them the freedom to make up their own mind and to find their own path, and also to do that in a way that feels supportive and not shaming, right? Like, if it takes, you know, we work with people that have severe addiction. And people, like some of those people have been trying for a decade or two decades to quit drinking with other things, or, you know, like, it's just so shameful to go through something like that. It is so shameful to, like, be told you're failing at recovery or you're failing at changing your relationship with alcohol. And so everything we do has this intention for, you know, whether you're somebody that's drinking, you know, like, two glasses a night and that feels awful, or you're drinking a few bottles a night, you know, and you're dying, like, is giving people the agency, like telling them that they get to make, you know, their way through this, and that there's no shame in how they do it, you know?
Yeah, because they are enough.
Yeah.
My whole life, I always know when bikini season is upon us. It's bikini season, get bathing suit ready. If I would have heard you could be president, you could be president, you could be president, as much as I heard you need to be in a bikini.
That's right.
Who the fuck knows what most of the young women in this country would be right now?
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
We have to lift each other up.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do know. We get sold this totally, like, false picture of what we're supposed to be, where we're supposed to put our attention. And, like, that is also a bit of our work, too, which is we work really hard at understanding why, you know, women specifically or anybody on the margins comes into this feeling less. Anybody living in this, like, the society is sick. They are not sick. They are adjusting to a sick society and all of these things that they come in with,
and
all
the
deprogramming.
And we're always blamed. How much did you have to drink? What were you wearing?
That's right.
Why were you out this time?
That's right.
It's always our fault.
Yeah.
So tell us where we can get your book.
I think everywhere.
Everywhere? What is it called?
It's called Quit Like a Woman.
Quit Like a Woman.
Yes. And the subtitle, I always forget the subtitle, but I believe it is The Radical Choice to Not Drink in a Culture Obsessed with Alcohol. And I think I got it.
A radical choice not to drink in a culture obsessed with alcohol.
Yeah, something like that.
Amazing. Michelle, do you have anything to plug?
Oh, goodness.
Do you have a Twitter feed that we can follow?
I do. I have a Twitter feed at Michelle Buteau. Michelle with two L's, B-U-T-E-A-U!
You have an hour-long Netflix special coming up.
I do. I have a Netflix. First Wives Club, we're going to be doing a season 2. Thank you, three people. That is more than I thought.
So,
can you smell me?
No. Do you want me to?
Maybe.
I have a book out. It's called The Guilty Feminist. It just got released in America the other day. Please buy it, ideally from a store that pays their tax. And maybe buy it for somebody. Buy it like ham. Ham it up. Hold your ass, motherfucker. What does it stand for?
Hard
as a motherfucker. Hard as a motherfucker. Ham. I still don't know how to use it.
No, you did.
Go ham.
Yeah, you did it.
I'm going to leave here and go ham by ordering room service. And I think it is actually a really useful thing to do. What's my intention for today? What do I want? What am I trying to get? What do I really want to do? What does my body feel? Does it really want this? Or is it something that it's like, oh, it's 1 o'clock? And I think the more we can get intentional, the more that we can also club together to resist the current regimes that are coming up in America, in Europe, in Britain, and get organized and get together. So this is not about, you know, doing or not doing anything. It's about deciding what we're going to do and then collectively doing it and taking power and strength from each other. So thank you so much for coming out and being part of our Guilty Feminist tribe. You have been listening to The Guilty Feminist with me. I don't want to be the Tim Henman of comedy.
It's a joke for some tennis fans who understand that Tim Henman was our big hope for Wimbledon for many years.
Okay.
Yeah, he wasn't famous overseas because he never won anything.
Yeah.
But to us, he was like an almost winner. He won the semi-finals once, you know.
He's the Lance Bass.
Right. You are so good at examples.
Thank you so much.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.